Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. While you're turning there, I want to read a verse that I had talked about a few weeks ago. We were, if you remember, the last time that I was here 2 weeks ago, and then the week before that, I had talked about Psalm 139, and it was marrying that to Hebrews 4. And I just want to bring to your remembrance one of these verses out of Psalm 139 that I believe is so significant. And that's verse 5. And David says, "Lord, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hand on me." I'm going to read that one more time. "You have gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness you follow behind me." I want to speak that and declare that over any anxiety that's in the room that anybody's dealing with. And let's face it, we all deal with different levels of anxiety. It tries to creep into our life, whether it's a thing of it's usually the what ifs. It's usually the what ifs. We know somebody gets diagnosed with cancer, and all of a sudden something's a little weird going on in our body, and the enemy takes us there. And the what ifs. During COVID was full of the what ifs. The financial future, the what ifs, the worry of our children and our parents, the what ifs, and it can come in, it can cripple us. And I want you to meditate on this scripture. I want you to take comfort in this scripture, where David says, "Lord, you've gone into my future. You have already been there. You've already been there. You've already prepared." He said, you know, the escapism doctrine that I grew up with was you know, when Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." I don't necessarily think that place was physical heaven where he was going and building a mansion for me in heaven. I believe he was going into my future and preparing a place for me in my future. I think that's that place. How many of you grew up and y'all saw God up there building a condo, set of condos for us? "I'm going to build you a house because in my Father's house are many mansions." And he's not talking about the house that we're thinking about. Alex, I believe that when Jesus was declaring that, he was speaking over the believers that "I am going into your future and I'm preparing that place for you. So when you get there, I've already been there. I've already made a way. I've already made a way for you. I've already seen it. I created it. I've established it. I have dominion over it. I have prepared it for your coming." And we freak out because of the what ifs. God says, "I've already been there. I've already been there." A few weeks ago, we carried my mom on a family trip to Africa. And a lot of people, it blows their mind because she's 87 and that she was able to do the trip and all of that stuff. You know, it was a really, really, other than some physical tiredness that all of us have for, you know, when we're combining international flights, it was an easy and stress-free trip for her. You know why? Because we had already been there and we had already prepared the way. We had already visited. We already knew. And so there was comfort in her that she's going to a place that we've already been. It wasn't going to cost her anything. It was a free trip because we already paid the price. We already knew the facilities. We already knew everything that was already there. So she walked in and it was stress-free. And it was a thing where she says, all I have to do is just enjoy this journey with my family. And what the Father has done for us is not so different. It's not so different what He's already done for us. So I want to speak that over you today. If you're dealing with anxiety, if you're anxious about your future, if you're anxious about your health right now, if you're anxious about anything going on, relationships with family, any stuff that's going on, I'm just concerned about 5 years from now or 10 years from now, or, you know, what are my finances going to look like, and should I take this risk and all of that stuff. He's already been there. He's already been there, and He's prepared a way. And He's built a mansion, if you will. We'll use that King James language. He's prepared a place for you because He's already been there. It's established. It may look like a wilderness to you. It may look like a wilderness to you. And it may be intimidating to you. Next week, me and Lori, we're doing our sheep hunt in the Northwest Territories, and it's a backpack hunt. They're carrying us into the middle of the wilderness. We can't go on horseback because it's too far back in. The horses can't get there. They're literally dropping us off in the wilderness with a helicopter and a guide and two tents. You know, and you're kind of sitting there saying, man, I know there's grizzly bears here. I know there's this. I know there's this. I know there's this. But I keep telling Lori, I said, Lori, they've already been there. Whatever mountain range that we're going to hunt, whatever valley they're going to drop us off in, one of their guides has already been there. They've already been there. They know what the deal is. And so I have, you say, boy, you've got some blind trust in a person. With him, it's not blind trust. He's already been there, guys. It may look like some extreme wilderness to you, but He's already been there. Marty Christa, you talk about ministry, man, in Honduras, and it's blowing up, and things are moving so fast, and it's awesome, and all of that stuff. And there's some trepidation. Oh, man, what is this going to look like? What's it supposed to look like? You know, what's it going to be like in 5 years or 10 years? And what are we supposed to do? And all that? He's already been there. He's already been 10 years from now. He's already been to 2033. In Tasate. You say, man, are you getting weird, Brother Sid? If he can't do that, then he's not much of God. He's already been there. So why freak out about something when He's got this? We're talking about entering into that believer's rest. That's how you rest. When you're trusting that it is already taken care of. It's already taken care of. We didn't grow up with that. Let's flip to Hebrews 4. I know y'all were already there. Let me flip back to Hebrews 4. Let's read verse 19 in Hebrews 3. The last, I told Casey, Brett did it to her last week, but I forewarned her. I said, let's go to verse 19. He said, it is clear. They're talking about the children of Israel. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. Now, we know this is talking about the Exodus stage. This is talking about the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers, Exodus, and the book of Joshua and all of this stuff. I want you to notice the verbiage in this, in how this is described. It is clear that they could not enter into their inheritance because they wrapped their hearts in unbelief. How many of us would have said the promised land right there? Most of us. They couldn't enter into the promised land. Canaan, the land with milk and honey, right? He didn't describe it as the promised land. He described it as their inheritance. He described it as their inheritance. I want your mindset to begin to shift from the fact that this is the promised land to this is my inheritance that is found in Him. You know, that's the way the Lord describes us. You may feel unworthy. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like you're a total mess up and all of that stuff. But you know how He describes you? He says, Nick White is my inheritance. Now, the flesh and the looking on our past and the looking on this, you notice in that scripture, and I didn't emphasize this a while ago in Psalm 139, not only has he gone into our future to prepare the way, but it said he's also come into our past to protect us from our past. That's to protect us from shame, from guilt. That's not enemies chasing us. It's a different kind of enemy. It's shame, guilt, all of those things. Feeling like we didn't do enough. Feeling like we weren't enough. He comes into our past to protect us from that because he says, what I'm focused on is the now and what is in this moment and what is about to be. And so he comes in, and the author of Hebrews doesn't come in and say that they could not enter into the promised land. He said they couldn't enter into their inheritance. And you say, well, what's the difference, Sid? I heard Damon say something this week. I was listening to a podcast and a recent one. And he said he made a differentiation between being accepted and belonging. And I felt, and he stayed there for just a second, and then he moved on because he was making a lot of other points that he was diving into. But I felt such a weight on that, being accepted or belonging. And the Lord began to teach me out of that. And the Lord began to develop that and grow that and all of that stuff and show me his mindset on this. Too often, we have the mindset that we are accepted, but not the mindset that we belong. We grew up with a theology of sinners in the hands of an angry God. That God was displeased with us, he was angry with us, and man, you know, it's like he's going to exert his righteous wrath on us. And Jesus throws up his nail-scarred hands and said, oh, don't beat him, Daddy, you've already beat me. But the word says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. In Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so this whole thing of beloved identity is what God's been trying to speak to just the church everywhere. Is the fact that our Father is a good Father and He loves us and He accepts us and He desires us. And if we are Christ's inheritance, then we are His inheritance. And that's what He thinks about us. A while ago when we were singing about that one, about you're the most, I forgot the words, in thousands of thousands, you're the most lovely, you're the most mesmerizing, you're the most beautiful, in thousands of thousands. And I jumped up on stage and I said, is that us singing it to him or is that him singing it to us? And James said, both. And I agree 1,000%. Last night, Zealand had some little boys over for spend the night. And, you know, they came in, the storms rolled through and all of that. Huh? No, it wasn't at our house. Well, it wound up. All right, I'm going somewhere with this, okay? He had to spend the night, not at our house, at his house. But after the storms rolled through, all of a sudden we have all of these little boys that they come and get our Polaris Ranger. And they're, you know, out there on the four-wheelers and the Rangers, and they're doing donuts in the riding ring and going through all the mud holes and all of that stuff. And they do that for a while. And then they bounce back, and they're in the swimming pool. And the hot tub, and doing their thing, what little boys do. All of these little boys were accepted. All of these little boys were welcome. And Camden's been there many times, and Lincoln's been there many times, and they're always accepted. But there's only one of them that belonged. And that was Zealand. Do you see the difference? They were accepted. They were welcomed. But one of them belonged. The others were guests. They were love guests. But he's the only one that belonged. And we go through life with the mindset that I'm accepted, but I don't quite belong. I may be welcomed. I may be celebrated. But I don't belong because I'm not a son. I don't belong because I'm not an heir. And that will always cause us to fall short of His full purpose for us in our lives. You see what I'm saying in this, guys? This is huge. This is huge. I'm about to read some scripture that's going to back this up. A little while later, me and Lori's in there finishing up our supper and watching some TV, and all of a sudden I hear some rustling in the kitchen. And it was Sydney, Hannah, and Caroline, and KK. And they're robbing butter out of the refrigerator because they're cooking, which I'm thrilled that they love to cook. They're like little bacon champions right now. They're baking all the time. And I said, hey, what y'all need, girls? They said, oh, we need some butter. We're baking cake. Mom's out of butter, so we need some butter. We're like, okay, cool. Y'all bring us a piece tomorrow night when we do supper. All right, and they're gone. They didn't have to come and say, Poppy, can we borrow 3 sticks of butter? Gigi, can we borrow 3 sticks of butter? They lived in a place of knowing that they belong, that they can walk in the door, open the refrigerator, and get the butter anytime they want to. There's a difference. Lincoln could show up and knock on my door and say, Pastor said, can I borrow a stick of butter? Yeah, sure, Lincoln, come on in. But you know what he does before he enters in? He knocks and he asks. Because he's accepted. But when you belong, you know that everything's different. There's not the boundaries. There's not the boundaries. We live on a farm together, and Aaliyah and her family lives here, and Errol and her family live here. And they have some land that's deeded in their name. They have a house that's deeded in their name. But to the children, there is no crossing of boundary lines. They don't even know where the boundary line is, that this is ours and this is Poppy and Gigi's. All they know is that this is our farm. They don't call and say, can I cross the fence? They just climb over the fence. There's a fence there. James brought this up. Me and him were talking about this earlier. And he said, there's a fence there, and he has to cross the fence. But he understands that it's just all the, it's all the farm. And so I just climb over the fence. There's a sense of belonging. There's a sense of inheritance. And we live our lives like we are just accepted, but we don't belong. We're just accepted, but we don't belong. And there's a shift in mindset that takes place. Let me read some scripture to you. Hit a couple more points out of this and we'll call it. In chapter 4 of Hebrews, verse 1, it says, now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. The promise of entering into God's rest is still for, put your name in right there. The promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. It's still for Rhett Tollison today. It's still for Lisa Phillips today. It's still for Ambry Carter today. The promise of entering into God's rest. And you remember, it didn't say the promised land. It said inheritance a while ago. So the promise of you entering into God's inheritance for you, the place that he has already been, the place that he has already established for you, it's still for you today. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. We all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. The fullness of it. I talk to people and I'll run into somebody and I'll ask them maybe about their, you know, their kid that I hadn't seen them in a while. Hey, how's so-and-so doing? And they're like, I hear this and it's a wore out phrase that we use now. And it's like, oh, you know, he's just living his best life. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, oh, that's good, and smile and all that. And I'm thinking, is he really? Because maybe I know circumstances that they hadn't told me. And I'm like, I don't think so. Not what God had intended for him. But like, oh, he's living his best life. I don't want to live my best life. I want to live his best life that he has preordained for me to walk in, the inheritance that he has for me to walk in. I said this about the 1.5 tribes that lived on the east side of Jordan. If my inheritance is on the west side, you know where I want to live? I don't care what the grassland looked like on the east side. I don't care that it's good enough. I want what God has set aside for me, and so should you. And he said, let's not fail to enter into the fullness, to experience the fullness. And he's saying it's there for us. Either one is there for us. Now in chapter 3, he makes a lot of reference to the children of Israel and the spies that went in and said that they didn't enter in because of unbelief. I believe 10 of them had an accepted mindset. 2 of them had a belonging mindset. I believe the 10 that gave the negative report, they had the accepting mindset that they came in and says, oh, well, maybe God's got this land for us, but we really are not going to be accepted because there's giants here, there's walled cities here. We look like grasshoppers in their sight, and so we are. And they came in with that accepted thing. And 2 of these guys, Joshua and Caleb, they go in, and they have the mindset that I belong here. They walk on this land, and when they're walking on that land, Randy, you know what? They're like, yeah, I know this. God's got this for me. This is mine. You remember what Caleb said 40 years after wandering in the wilderness when Joshua took control and they finally crossed the river? You know, before they crossed the river, you know what he said? He said, hey, Caleb said to Joshua, he said, you remember what Moses promised me? That section of land that had that mountain in it. See, 40 years earlier, when he saw that, he knew in his heart, that's mine. God's prepared that for me. God's given that to me. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. So he said, Joshua, don't forget what God promised me. Don't forget what Moses promised me. Because when he walked in, he said, I belong here. This is my inheritance. And the other guys looked and they said, oh, the giants are big. Maybe we live in a post-Christian culture. Maybe I'm not accepted. Maybe society doesn't accept me, so I need to back off on who I'm supposed to be. Back off on what I'm supposed to do. Back off on how I approach life. Because we're not accepted anymore. Conservatives not accepted anymore. Fundamentals not accepted anymore. So maybe I just need to back off on this. And that's an I'm accepted mindset to culture, and I'm an accepted mindset to God. And he says, I want you to understand that you belong. You belong to me. You belong in me. You belong in. The word says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So I walk all over this planet, and everywhere I walk, I said, I belong here. And I don't care where it is. I don't care what continent I'm walking on. I say I belong here, because if this is the Lord's and the fullness thereof is His, then you know what? It's mine too. You young guys, y'all want young people, y'all want to escape peer pressure and all of that stuff. I know it's real, Jude. I know it's real, man. You down there at, you know, Carrollton High School and all this, and you know, and everybody says you gotta act like this and you gotta be like this and you gotta do this, and if you don't cuss and you don't do this and all of this stuff and everything. You know how you escape that? Understanding, you know that I belong. I belong here. I belong on this team. I belong in this school. I belong in this spot. I belong because, you know, the Joshua said, everywhere I put my foot, the Lord's given that to me. If the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, you know what? That means that it's my Father's. And I want us to have the mindset. God wants us to have the mindset like Zealand. Boundaries, I don't even know where the boundaries are. All I know is this is our farm. So whether I'm here or at Poppy and Gigi's or at Rhett and A's house, it's all the same, because I belong on all of it. I belong on all of it. And it changes the way we walk. It changes the way we approach. It changes our access levels. And that access is not determined by the Father. The access is determined by us, because He's already said that the refrigerator door is open. You just come get what you want. Doesn't He promise that throughout the Word? I mean, it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch, is it, Jamie, for me to say that? It's what the Lord tells us. So the thing that restricts our access is not Him, it's us. Those fences were not there to restrict Zealand or Caroline or KK or anybody else. They're for other purposes. That's what James said. I said, you're exactly right. And I believe that 10 of the spies had an accepted mindset, and the two that gave the favorable report and had faith and ultimately got to go into the promised land, they had a belonging mindset, because they said, I belong here. This is my inheritance. The others said, I may not be accepted here. This is a great place, but I may not be accepted here. And they failed to go far enough into saying, this is my inheritance. A good marriage is your inheritance. Ambry, a good marriage is your inheritance. Believe for nothing less than that. Live for nothing else than that. That's your inheritance. Raising two sons that love the Lord and serve God and honor with Him with their lives, that's your inheritance. That's not the promised land. Oh, I'm so envious of you and all of that. Dude, it's my inheritance. My 40-year marriage is my inheritance. It's my inheritance. Two daughters that love the Lord, that's my inheritance. Grandchildren that are coming to know Him, that's my inheritance. Two good son-in-laws that love the Lord and want to honor Him and have a good work ethic, that's my inheritance. That's not the luck of the draw. That's not the promised land that I might be accepted into someday. That's my inheritance. And that's your inheritance. Do you belong, or are you just accepted? Dude, I belong. We were very purposeful when we started our company in what we named our company, KST. We wanted to tell our son-in-laws, you're not just tolerated, you're celebrated. You're not just accepted, you belong so much that your name. We could have named it Double A Customs, Aaliyah and Ariel. Might have worked. I don't know. Might catch you, huh? But it's KST. You belong. You belong. It's as much you as it is me. Maybe even more so. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. Come on, let's loop that into the spiritual realm, guys. Right? Because I'm stepping back and letting them run with this. I was telling a guy out there last week, I said, well, my son-in-laws are running the company, you know, pretty much now. And he said, well, are they running or running in the ground? I said, oh, no, they're running it. I said, these guys are sharp. They belong. And it's to take it further than we could, than we did. Come on, this ought to vibrate with somebody in here. This ought to hit a frequency with you. We're talking about a family business, but we could talk a lot about a lot of different things. My world looks like this. Your world looks like this. But your world is just as significant as my world is to him. And your promised land is not just your promised land. It's your inheritance. And that trumps promised land every time. Verse 2 says, well, let me finish verse 1. That we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. Not fail to experience it. You know what my heart for the church is as pastor? You know what my heart for you guys is? That you embrace the fullness of his promise for you and that you fail not to experience it. I want my life to be such it gives you permission to chase after the same and maybe even more in your life. That's what he's telling right here, Randy. He said that we all embrace all. Somebody look, all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. Verse 2, for we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. Wow. They didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. I believe that all y'all know the story of Lot, right? Abraham and Lot. Wouldn't everybody in here say Lot was a tragic case? I mean, you know, you start out going on this journey with Abraham and you wind up getting drunk, having sex with your daughters and your children or your grandchildren. That's pretty tragic, right? I mean, all of this is in front of you. Do you know what I believe that the Lord spoke to me that Lot's issue was? Was he had a mindset of acceptance, but not a mindset of belonging. I don't know how Lot got invited to the party, Todd. All we know is that Abraham journeyed to a land that he knew not of, and his nephew Lot was with him. I don't know if Abraham's brother died, and he kind of took on the role of a father figure or what, but we know that Lot went with him. And we know it got to the point that they were so blessed. They were so blessed that they were like, man, it looks like the land's not big enough for all of us. But God had told Abraham, he said, you look to the east, you look to the west, you look to the north, you look to the south. Everything that you can see, I have given you. So there was plenty of land. But even if there were constraints on the land, I don't know, in hindsight, if I'm Lot, I'm sitting here and I'm saying my life with Abraham has been nothing but blessed. I'm not leaving him because I belong with Abraham. I'll cut back on my herds if I need to. I'll lay off some of my herdsmen if I need to, but I'm not untethering myself with Abraham because I belong with Abraham. But I believe that Lot's mindset was, I'm accepted by Abraham. He's allowed me to come on this journey. I have been benefited by Abraham. This is the promised land, but it's not my inheritance. So when a fence came up that needed crossing, Lot looked out and he saw the plains out towards Sodom, and he saw that they were well watered according to the word, and he said, I'll choose this. And he got closer and closer and closer to a place of acceptance. So much so that the word tells us that he sat in the gate of the city. That means he had some authority in the city. He was on the city council or something like that. You know, he was probably in the Elks Club and all the other Civitan and all of that stuff, you know. Junior Woman's Club, whatever. They're good. There's nothing wrong with them. But being accepted in that is not the same as belonging. I believe that Lot failed to understand that he belonged with Abraham. And when offense came, he went the acceptance route. When the fence came, he went the acceptance route. Because that's how he viewed himself. And I want to come today and I want to give you a word of liberty. I want to give you a word of freedom. That you're not just accepted, but you belong. Before you throw the butt up there. Psalm 139 said he's already gone into your past to protect you from that. Y'all thought it was some enemy chasing you down. You know what that enemy is? Your past failures. At this season of my life, I did this. Preacher, you know what I did? Yeah, I don't, but he does. And he has gone into your past to protect you from that. And that's one of the biggest lies that's going to teach, that will keep you from a sense of belonging. So he's gone into our past to protect us from that. He's gone into our future to prepare the way, to get it ready for us, to set the camp up for us, to understand the boundaries for all of these things. He's already gone there. And so that should give us this amazing sense of, you know what? I belong because of him. I belong because of him. I belong because of him. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm smart. It's not because I work harder than everybody else. Doesn't because I'm better looking. Doesn't matter any of these things. I belong because of him. But because of him, that makes me belong. Because I was born into it. Sydney, Hannah, and Caroline were born into it. Zealand was born into it. Lincoln wasn't. He was born into something else. And when that role's reversed, and when Zealand's over at Lincoln's house, he's accepted. But he doesn't belong. When he's doing stuff with y'all, he's accepted, but he doesn't belong. Not like Lincoln belongs. So I want everybody to get this mindset. We belong. I belong. Understand that. I belong because of him. I belong because of him. Because of his blood. Because of his love. Because of his heart for me. I belong because of that. It will change the way you walk through life. We always had a common phrase with it that we used a lot with our kids. And when we were going different places, and we would say, just act like you belong. Act like you belong because you do. When we lived in a single wide trailer, it didn't define us. When we were broke, it didn't define us. because I came from Harrelson County High School. Anybody y'all come from Harrelson County High School? I did, yeah. Johnny Reb, right? I'm class of 80. You know, that's way before y'all was even born. And people think, oh, you came from the county school and redneck, and, you know, I am a redneck. But you know what? I belong. I belong. And I can be intelligent, and I can be creative, and I can have an entrepreneurial mindset. And I can know how to love a woman and love a family and devote my life to a heavenly Father. So, yeah, I belong. A little backwoods podunk town, Buck Cannon, Georgia. I belong. Courtney's from Draketown. That even trumps me, Scott. They're from Draketown. I'm one step up. I'm from Corinth. But you know what? You belong. You belong. In the world's eyes. Because the world looks at us and like, you know, dude, I belong. I belong walking among millionaires. I belong walking among billionaires. I belong walking among somebody that may be rich and famous, and none of it phases me one bit, because I know who my daddy is and I know what my inheritance is. And so I walk with a different confidence. I walk with a different posture. I walk through an airport that is full of thousands and thousands of people, and I walk through that thing thinking that I know something that 99% of these people don't know. And it changes my posture, and it changes my mindset, and it changes my approach to life, because I'm not just accepted, I belong. And you're not just accepted, you belong. And that song we were singing earlier, that you're the most beautiful and mesmerizing of thousands and thousands, Linda Carter, you weren't just singing it to him, he was singing it over you. That man sitting next to you is not the only one that thinks you're amazing. We got a Father in heaven that thinks it 10,000 times more than even Keith does. 10,000 more times than even I do. That's what he thinks of us. That's what he thinks of you, Norma. He said, oh, but my past. He said, I went behind you to protect you from that. I went from behind you. He said, preacher, I've been divorced 3 times. He went behind you. I used to do drugs. He went behind you. I did drugs last night. He went behind you. I cussed somebody out last week. He went behind you. He went behind you to protect you from what looked like failure. To protect you from a lie that would tell you you don't belong. So Nick White, when I ask you to preach, don't say, man, I don't feel worthy. Because he went behind you to take care of that. When I asked Brett House to preach, don't say, man, I don't feel worthy. Because he went behind you to protect you from that. No, Brett's in Athens today, moving in Mary. Y'all pray for him. He's struggling. I feel for him. James, don't ever feel unworthy, because he went behind you to protect you. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. Lose butt from your vocabulary. All right? Lose it. He went behind you to take that away. He went behind you to take that away. Did that help anybody this morning? I hope so. I hope so. That was a good word for me. Okay? That was a good word for me. So let's stand to our feet. I really don't know what to do right now. I don't know. Man, will Tyler or one of the Seagull crew or somebody come up here and just jump on a guitar? I don't care. Isaac, you can, man. You jump in. You new man on. I kind of like it. I really, really like it. Yeah, so, yeah, it's nice. You know what that is, Isaac? It's part of your inheritance. Part of your inheritance. I love it. A few years ago, that's not my thing. And God, the whole time, God's just laughing when he says that. We'll see. Say he's already gone and prepared a place for you. When you stood in Honduras back in February and you led worship to all those Honduran people out by the bonfire, God had already been there. He'd already been there. Already been there. Man, I don't know how you need to respond this morning. Maybe just come and thank him. Maybe to ask for forgiveness. Maybe just to intercede for somebody else. I know a lot of you have already been to the altar and took communion for somebody else. But I just feel like the presence like we experienced this morning and the promises that he's released to us through his word, I think it just demands a response somehow. Maybe you felt like I'm just accepted, but I don't belong, and you just need somebody to encourage you and pray with you. Man, I'll be happy to pray with you. Any of you ladies, Lori, would jump down here and pray with you. Rainy Terry will jump down here and pray with you. Rettner will jump. Any of these people down front, they'll jump down here and pray with you. You say, man, I struggle. I struggle with acceptance. It's because you're not accepted. You belong. That's the thing. Because you've been trying to be accepted, and he didn't build you to be accepted. He built you to belong. And in that, your uniqueness is not just tolerated, but your uniqueness is celebrated. So you don't have to conform to everybody else. Your life doesn't have to look like everybody else's, because it's unique to you. There's a reason you look around the school and nobody else has the life that you have, because yours is unique. But so is yours. It's not supposed to look like his. It's supposed to look like yours. Because he's already gone there. He's prepared that place, and he's coming in behind you to protect you from your past. No more shame, no more guilt. He's protecting you from that. He said, I got that because you're in me and I'm in you. And it's beautiful. It's glorious. I've been to your future and it's glorious. That's what he's telling you. So no anxiety. If you're struggling with anxiety, come down and let somebody pray with you. All right? Amen. Go ahead, brother. Just move. Let's just spend a few more minutes in his presence.
this thing whoops me. When Sydney was preaching about belonging, the Lord brought back to remembrance. I listened to a podcast this week, and she was teaching on everybody has your own DNA. And I know all the science, like probably you do, all the little picture your DNA. And she said, and when Christ comes in us, it says we are a new creature. He weaves within our DNA. He becomes part of us. He weaves within our DNA. He can't undo that. That's how we know we belong. So as you go about your week this week, picture that you are unique. And this woman said her 17-year-old son made the comment to her. She said, but Mom, I can't do that. I'm not God. And that's so much our mentality as Christians, that we're not God, but God lives within us. So she said, no, you're not God, but you're a new creation, and He lives within you. So I want you to go out this week and you're all these things and you're feeling like you don't belong. Picture your own DNA and picture Christ woven in that DNA. And He said He will never leave us or forsake us. There's nothing that can separate us from Him. So He's woven within us every step we take this week. Everywhere we go this week, He is in us. If we've asked Him to. I'm assuming that that's what everyone here's done. We've asked Him to come in and we've taken that step. So you are a new creation in Him. So as you walk this week, as I walk this week, when I feel like I'm not, maybe sometimes not even accepted, God says, no, you belong. That DNA, that's you, Keith. That's us. That's what we need to remember this week. Amen.
Is kingdom rest. That's Hebrews 4's kingdom rest. You may say, I am wandering in the wilderness. I told y'all I believe that Joshua and Caleb were in kingdom rest even while they were in the middle of the wilderness for 40 years. I don't think there was a single day when Caleb thought, somebody else is going to take my mountain. He knew. For 40 years, it's still mine. It's still mine. Ain't nobody going to get it. It's mine. Ain't nobody going to steal your future. It's yours. It's His. Ain't nobody going to get it. Well, we're about getting our piece of the pie, and somebody else is going to get that opportunity before I get that. Ooh, can't nobody get what's yours. They can't. Can't nobody take nothing from this. It's yours. It's yours. It's your inheritance. It's your story. It's your walk. It's your path. It's your path. All right, embrace it. Yeah. Oh, man, it's been fun today in church. It has been fun. It's been good. So, y'all have an amazing week. We love you guys. Youth meeting tonight. Remember the needs and the stuff that's going on. Pray, guys. Remember Krista's dad. He's not doing well right now. Just pray for him. Just lift him up, that God would just come in and just energize, and that he would experience the fullness of his inheritance. All right? I got a guy named John Nightingale. Y'all pray for him. He's a guy I met last year and then again this year. And he's dealing with cancer. And I got to pray with him this week. And got to hear his faith story and faith journey and all of that. And y'all just remember him, please. And all the other needs that are out there, the Lord knows what they are. But just bring it before the Lord. Your inheritance, man. Your inheritance. You belong. You're belonging, not just accepted, certainly not just tolerated, but you belong. You belong. Dive into the refrigerator this week. I want to release you into something. Eat all the popsicles. That's what our grandkids do. Y'all get it. Y'all get it in a couple years. Lori's biggest line at them at the grocery store is ice cream and popsicles. Eat all the popsicles, okay? Because he wants you to. Can I tell you something about the nature of the Father? Can I tell you something about the nature of Gigi? She loves buying popsicles. I'm all seriousness. Jacob, the father, loves buying popsicles. Eat up. Eat up. He loves buying popsicles. He'll add another refrigerator in the porch, in the carport, just to keep your popsicles. So eat up. You're not just accepted. You belong, brother. You belong. All right? Love you guys. Y'all have an awesome week. We'll see everybody.